Well, screw them. Quinn was all that mattered now. Sango shrieked, rearing up violently. He grabbed the reins hard in reflex. The horse came down, and he realized its legs were collapsing. Momentum carried him forward, his head meeting Sango's neck as it snaked back. Mane hair lashed across his face, and his nose squashed into the bristly beige coat. He tasted blood. Sango hit the ground, inertia skidding him forwards a couple of meters, before he finally rolled onto his side. Pearl heard his right leg break with a shockingly loud snap as the horse's full weight came down on it. He blanked out for a moment. When he came to, he promptly threw up. His right leg was completely numb below the hip. He felt dangerously light-headed. Cold sweat prickled his skin. The horse's flank had his leg pinned to the ground. He hunched himself on his elbow and tried to pull it out. Red-hot pain flared along his nerve paths. He groaned and slumped back down onto the mossy grass, panting heavily. The undergrowth swished behind him. There was the sound of footfalls on the loam. "Hey!" he cried. "Christ, help me! The bloody horse keeled over on me. I can't feel my leg." He craned round. Six figures were walking out of the murky shadows which lined the track. Quinn Dexter laughed. Powell made a frantic lunge for the Mazer carbine in the saddle holster. His fingers curled round the grip. Anne had been waiting for the move. She fired her laser rifle. The infrared pulse struck the back of Pearl's hand, slicing clean through. Skin and muscle vaporized in a 5-centimeter crater, veins instantly cauterized, his straining tendons roasted and snapped. Around the edge of the wound, skin blackened and flaked away, a huge ring of blisters erupted. Pearl let out a guttural snarl, jerking his head back. "Bring him," Quinn ordered. The demon sprite had come back to the church. It was the first thing Horst Elwes discovered when he returned. Most of the day was lost to him. He must have lain in the little clearing for hours. His shirt and trousers were damp from the rain and smeared with mud, and Carter McBride's blood-filmed eyes still stared at him. "Your fault," Supervisor Manani had shouted in rage. He was right, too. A sin by omission. The belief that human dignity would triumph, that all he had to do was wait and the Ivets would grow tired of their foolish rituals and genuflecting, that they could realize the Light Brother sect was a charade designed to make them do Quinn's bidding. Then he would be there for them, waiting to forgive and welcome them into the Lord's fold. Well, now that arrogance had cost a child his life, perhaps others too, if the suspicions of Ruth and Manani were correct. Horst wasn't at all sure he wanted to go on living. He walked back into the village clearing as the penumbra arose from the east and the brighter stars started to shine above the black treetops. A few cabins had yellow lights glimmering inside, but the village was deathly quiet. The life had gone out of it. The spirit, Horst thought, that is what's missing. Even afterwards, even after they've had their revenge and slaughtered the Ivets, this place will be tainted. They have bitten their apple now, and the knowledge of truth has corrupted their souls. They know what beasts lie in their hearts, even though they dress it up as honor and civilized justice. They know. He walked heavily out of the shadows towards the church. That simple little church which symbolized all that was wrong with the village. Built on a lie, home to a fool, laughed at by all. Even here, the most godforsaken planet in the Confederation, where nothing really matters, I can't get it right. I can't do the one thing I vowed before God that my life was for. I can't give them faith in themselves. He pushed through the swing door at the rear of the church. Carter McBride was laid out on a pew at the front, draped in a blanket. Someone had lit one of the altar candles. A dainty red star flickered a meter over the body. All Horst's anguish returned in a deluge that threatened to extinguish his sanity. He bit his trembling lower lip. "If God, the Holy Trinity, exists," said the waster sect Satanists, "then ipso facto the Dark One is also real. For Jesus was tempted by Satan. Both have touched the earth. Both will return." Now Horst Elwes looked at the speck of red light and felt the dry weight of eons press in on his mind again.